here.
What was the crime
of the Pharisees? Here the crime is not a question of obeying the parents, it's a question of not honoring the parents, not respecting the parents as they ought. And here, the Pharisees taught a religious device by which you could get out of it. That is dreadful. That is really dreadful. What did they teach? Now you have to understand rabbinics, rabbinic law, rabbinic practice to understand what is going on here. It centers in this word korban in verse 11, which is a word which means offering, a Hebrew word meaning to offer as a sacrifice. Now what happens is this. For example, if the parents were supported by the son or the daughter, at least to some measure, and maybe the parents offended the son, the son will then declare, if he wants to take his revenge on his parents, the money that you receive from me every month henceforth is korban. The moment he says this, he has declared an oath. The korban is an oath. And from then on, he gives not one cent to his parents anymore, because he is now under oath. The oath of the offering. But, and this is the remarkable part, that does not mean that he actually offers the money in the temple. He doesn't offer a thing in the temple. Because what he means by this korban is this, what I would have given to you is korban, means it is as an offering to God. Notice the little tricky word, as an offering. It is not that it is an offering, it is as an offering. It is equivalent to an offering. Now this may be very hard for you to understand, but that is the tricky part about rabbinics, about rabbinic law. This means to say that actually the money he would have given to his parents now stays in his own pocket. He doesn't offer it in the temple. Because he didn't say it would be an offering to God in the temple, but only as an offering. You see that little play on the word as. It will be treated like an offering, but it is not actually an offering. So, because it is not an offering, he can keep it. But because it is like an offering, he doesn't have to give it. Oh, one must be really twisted in one's mind to try and understand it. I had a hard time even just trying to understand this thing. Such is the thing. And in fact, when I looked in the Mishnah, the book of Jewish law, I found there an actual case of this very thing, cited. And what happened in this case illustrates exactly what the Lord Jesus is saying. The Mishnah is a book that you can buy outside if you want to understand something about Jewish law. It's a big volume, and it is heavy reading in many places. But I read through parts of this Mishnah, and it's so illuminating to understand the New Testament from it. Now, what happened in this case was that it doesn't say why, but for some reason the son had declared his support to the father as korban. And then he got caught in a little bit awkward. He was going to get married. And he wanted his father to come to the wedding. I mean, it's a bit awkward to have a wedding and your parents are not at the wedding. So he wanted his father to come to the wedding, but now, according to rabbinic law, his father could not even eat of the food at his wedding because it was korban. It was as an offering. And he was prohibited from eating even the food in his son's household. Think of that. Not only he would get no financial support, but he could not eat of the food at his household or at his wedding. So the son was in a very awkward position. He wanted his father to come to the wedding, and yet he could not. His father could not eat of the food at the wedding, could not partake of the wedding feast. So the son was there in this passage in the Mishnah, struggling to how to solve this problem. So he hit on the idea of another trick to get out of the problem, and that is that he, for the period of the wedding, gave all his possessions as a gift to his best friend, but only for the period of his wedding. Now, because of this legal device, since all his possessions now belong to his best friend, I hope you have a legal mind and can understand the legal. No wonder the Jews are good lawyers. Most of them are lawyers of some sort. Because of during the period of the wedding, those 7 days, everything now belonged to his friend, only for 7 days, mind you, he's going to get it all back at the end of 7 days. But because during that period it didn't belong to him, but to his friend, therefore his father could come to the feast and partake of the wedding, because during those 7 days it didn't belong to him. Oh, you need to have really a twisted mind to mess around with the word of God in this kind of fashion. Now, if again we begin to feel self-righteous and say, oh, these Pharisees, they are really twisted, wait till you read some theology. Wait till you read some theology, then you'll be amazed how twisted are the minds of Christians too. Sin, it is not because Jews are twisted in their minds. It is not because they are somehow more complicated than we are. The fact is that sin, remember this, twists our thinking, makes your thinking very complicated. You fool around with God's word. Pray to God that we may be delivered from these consequences of sin. Let us live according to the word, precisely according to the word. Let us never try to twist this and that. So many times when I have spoken to a Christian about a particular thing, and I pointed out that this thing is not in the word of God, what was my reaction? I saw the reaction was an exercise in spiritual gymnastics. Have you tried it? You point out to them that this doctrine is wrong, and what did you get? An exercise in spiritual gymnastics. Oh, twist this way, that way, even it made no sense, it seemed to make sense to them. They twisted all over the place to get out of the difficulty. Let us pray above all things, that God will so cleanse our minds that we live in holiness before Him. To be a good theologian, to be a good Bible teacher, to be a good Christian, the most important thing is not that you understand the Mishnah. It is not that you have gone to theological college. Let me tell you what you need. Clean heart. Clean heart. Because when your heart is unclean, you are going to twist around the word of God. If you want an example of this, try it sometimes. Confront somebody with an aspect of wrong teaching and observe. Just sit back and watch what he will do. You will have an interesting performance, such as when you see the Olympics and you see what are these people on the double bars, on the single bars. There'd be nothing compared to what the Christians know how to do. And then when you read the Bible again, you will never again want to condemn the Pharisees. You will see that we are all exceedingly good at this exercise. Pray to God that your heart will be pure. When your heart is pure, you will neither interpret the scripture too much wrong in this direction nor too wrong in the other direction. I have pointed out to you that hyper-spiritual interpretations can often be as wrong as non-spiritual interpretations. It is so important to understand this. Cleanliness of heart, purity heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I have met some Christians, and I've been amazed at their spiritual discernment, much better than professors of theology. You know why? Because their heart is so pure. Because their heart is so pure, they see so clearly. The secret of spiritual vision is purity of heart. The pure in heart, they shall see God. Let us be quiet before God in prayer.